Hey, everybody. I hope you're doing well. My name is Steve Durr. Today, we're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 22, just to remind us where we've been at. David is now officially on the run from King Saul, who wants him dead. And so David's on the run. He goes to pick up a sword from the priests, as well as some bread. He then runs to the Philistines, to his enemies, to Gath, the place where Goliath was from. And they recognize him. He freaks out, begins to act as if he's a madman, and they kind of say, get out of here. So David now is on the run, and he goes to a cave, and that's where we're going to pick up our story. So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and other relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, who were just discontented, until David was the leader of about 400 men. Later, David went to Mizpah in Moab, where he asked the king, "Would you let my father and mother live here under royal protection until I know what God is going to do for me?" The king agreed, and David's parents stayed in Moab while David was living in his stronghold. One day, the prophet Gad told David, "Leave the stronghold and return to the land of Judah." So David went to the forest of Hereth. The news of his arrival in Judah soon reached Saul. At that time, the king was sitting beneath a tamarisk tree on the hill at Gibeah, holding his spear and surrounded by his officers. "Listen here, you men of Benjamin," Saul shouted when he heard the news. "Has David promised you fields and vineyards? Has he promised to make you commanders in his army? Is that why you've conspired against me? For not one of you has ever told me that my own son is on David's side. You're not even sorry for me. Think of it, my own son encouraging David to try to kill me." Then Doeg, the Edomite, who was standing there with Saul's men, spoke up. "When I was at Nob," he said, "I saw David talking to Ahimelech, the priest. Ahimelech consulted the Lord to find out what David should do. Then he gave David food and the sword of Goliath, the Philistine." King Saul immediately sent for Ahimelech and all of his family who served as priests at Nob. When they arrived, Saul shouted at him, "Listen to me, you son of Ahitub." "What is it, my king?" Ahimelech asked. "Why have you and David conspired against me?" Saul demanded. "Why did you give him food and a sword? Why have you inquired of God for him? Why did you encourage him to revolt against me and to come here and attack me?" "But sir," Ahimelech replied, "is there anyone among all your servants who is as faithful as David, your son-in-law? Why, he is the captain of your own bodyguard and a highly honored member of your household. This was certainly not the first time I had consulted God for him. Please don't accuse me and my family in this matter, for I knew nothing of any plot against you." "You will surely die, Ahimelech, along with your entire family," the king shouted. And he ordered his bodyguards, "Kill these priests of the Lord, for they are allies and conspirators with David. They knew he was running away from me, but they didn't tell me." But Saul's men refused to kill the Lord's priests. Then the king said to Doeg, "You do it." So Doeg turned on them and killed them, 85 priests in all still wearing their priestly tunics. Then he went to Nob, the city of the priests, and killed the priests' families, men, women, children, babies, all the cattle, donkeys, and sheep. Only Abiathar, one of the sons of Ahimelech, escaped and fled to David. When he told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord, David exclaimed, "I knew it. When I saw Doeg there that day, I knew he would tell Saul, 'Now I have caused the death of all of your father's family. Stay here with me, and I will protect you with my own life, for the same person wants to kill us both.'" Saul was convinced. You see, he told himself a story over and over, so often that it became the only truth he could see. "David is out to get me. No one cares about me. Everyone, my own son included, is against me." In 1 Samuel 22, we find Saul sitting under a tree, spear in his hand, telling his men that David is a traitor, and worse, no one is loyal to him. He's just complaining to all his men, "None of you are loyal to me." But here's the problem. It wasn't true. He was telling himself a story that wasn't true. David wasn't plotting against Saul. Yes, David is going to become king. Yes, he's been anointed king. God is the one who is plotting against Saul. But David has been loyal. David has been serving Saul, helping Saul. Saul's son said, listen, David's not plotting against you. He's here to loyally serve you. The priests had no idea David was fleeing, and yet Saul believes that they were conspiring with David against him, and Saul refuses to see it. He filtered every event through the story he had already decided was true, and the result? He became paranoid. He became violent and disconnected from reality. His false story, his false narrative, led to one of the darkest moments of his reign, the massacre of all the priests and all their families at Nob. We live in the stories we tell ourselves. Our brains naturally create stories to make sense of life, interpreting all the things we see. The problem is those stories aren't always true. They're shaped by our experiences, our fears, our wounds, our assumptions. Like Saul, we sometimes interpret people's actions based on our own internal issues and stories rather than reality. Have you ever felt convinced that someone was ignoring you, only to later realize they were just having a really bad day? Or maybe you assumed you weren't wanted, when in reality, no one even knew you were struggling. The stories we tell ourselves shape how we see the world, how we see ourselves, how we see others, and then how we respond to it. One of the little stories I've told myself over the course of my life is this little story about the Durr curse. And I've shared it before, but the Durr curse is this idea that being a Durr means you're overlooked. Other people come first. You miss out. Of course, it's not going to work. It's classic. Here we go again. It's a story I told myself based on some experiences, but I missed all the other experiences, all the other truths of who God says I am, of all the other relationships I had, of all the incredible opportunities I had. Those didn't fit nicely in the Durr curse story. And so I had to finally just say the Durr curse is a lie. That's a story that's just a lie. The reality is I am seen. I am chosen. I am wanted. I do have great opportunity because God is my father, because God has called me his son, because he is well pleased with me. And so I've had to say this story that I've believed and seen everything through is a lie. The truth is what God says about me. The hard thing in that situation is it was difficult to hear the truth from people close to me. I had believed that story for so long that I just was a victim to it. Here's who I am. This is what's going to happen. Here we go again. Classic. Why bother trying? And when my wife would say, honey, that's not true. That's not who you are. I couldn't even hear it because that story was so loud in my mind and in my heart. It's what I was living from. The stories we tell ourselves are the stories we live in and we live out of. And so how do we break out of these false narratives, these false stories? I think first we have to figure out what is the story we're telling ourselves. Name the story you're telling yourself. For Saul, it was everyone's out to get me. No one is loyal. No one is on my team. David's trying to take me down. But what's the story that you're telling yourself? What do you keep repeating in your mind about yourself, about others, about God? Maybe there's something that happened in your past and you think, I'll never be forgiven. I'll always have this held over my head and God will never truly accept me because of what I've done. That's a lie. And yet it's a story that you tell yourself. Often the stories we tell ourselves are rooted in fear. They're rooted in insecurity. They're rooted in past struggles and wounds and conflicts and hurts and bitterness. So name the story you're telling yourself. Then test it against truth. Does that story align with what God says? Have you checked in with God about it? Does it hold up when you seek wisdom from trusted people around you? Hey, does this resonate? Does this sound right? And then believe it. Think about how many people were saying to Saul, Saul, David is not, he's loyal. He's not trying to kill you. He's loyal. And he wouldn't believe anyone because it didn't fit his narrative. The only person who said, no, it's true, was Doeg. He wanted to get in Saul's good graces. said, yeah, I did see him there. They're against you. And he elevates in Saul's mind. Why? Because he reinforces the false story. So does this hold up against the wisdom we get from trusted people and from God? And then listen to God's voice. Saul gripped tightly to his fear-driven story. And David, on the other hand, he listened to God's voice. He asked, he waited, he sought counsel. When we invite God into our thought process, when we begin to reflect on him and ask him what's next, who we are, what we're to do, we start to see things differently. And then finally, rewrite the story. Just like I was talking about in my own life, replace the false story with a new story, God's story, a true story of who you are. So instead of saying, I am alone and no one wants to be with me, say, God is with me and he places me in community. Instead of, I'm not enough and I never will be, say, I have a new purposeful identity. That's the truth of Scripture. You have a new purposeful identity. You are God's workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, things that he's prepared in advance for you to do. That's who you are. So Saul's story led him to fear, violence, destruction. David's story, though marked by hardship and struggle and pain and grief, was shaped by trust in God. One led to isolation and the other resilience and change and strength. We live in the stories we tell ourselves. What story are you living in today, living out of today? And is it the one that God is telling you? Let's pray. God, we pray that we would reject the stories that we tell ourselves that are not based in the truth of who you are, who you say we are, and what you're doing in and around our lives. Help us to embrace the truth, God. Set us free in that truth. And help us to reject the lies that we so often believe. Reveal those to us. And we reject them in your name, Jesus. Amen. Have a great day.